Our sermon text for this morning can be found in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 17 through chapter 4, verse 1. That's Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verse 17 through 4:1. And we read in the name of our Lord. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Amen. Let us pray. Father, allow us to hear your word, your truth, and be strengthened in the truth. Father, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Well, we are right in the midst of Lent. And we read something like this, and we quite often think that we got to do something to change, to make our bodies devoted, so that our God is not our stomach, so that our devotion is not ourselves. But quite often, we do quite the opposite. That Lent, there's two things that are notable about it quite often in our culture. It's Mardi Gras, and it's religious acts that get us closer to God. Or at least make us think we're getting closer to God. We either have hedonism, or we have a selfish devotion quite often. That we start thinking about what we can do to make ourselves better so God can transform our vile bodies. We keep working on ways that we can finally become acceptable to God and be focused on Him. But what happens quite often is we start thinking about ourselves. We're going to give up chocolate for Lent, so that way we can be more acceptable to God. But does God care about chocolate? I don't think so. Do you think God actually is concerned about us having a little extra chocolate? The best thing that we can give up for Lent is ourselves. To stop worrying about how we make ourselves better so that God will love us. That is the best thing we can give up for Lent. We need to give up ourselves. Because Paul here, he didn't just start with this statement. In fact, he started earlier, and he was talking about those who were so big on the religious acts that they would boast in what they had done for God. That they were circumcised, and that was great. That they had done zealous things for God, and that was wonderful. But he said, and when it comes to that, I'm on top. If you want to talk about being devoted to God, I was it. I was the best. I was a Pharisee among Pharisees. And you want to talk about zeal? I persecuted the church for God. The thing is, it was never for God. It was for Paul. Or should I say Saul? Because at that time, his God was his stomach. His devotion was to himself. His desire was that he would be good enough to make it to God. That he would be good enough to finally appease that God that was seeking to destroy him because he had no idea who God is. Well, we know who God is. that God is the loving Father who sent His Son to die for our sins so that we would not die. God is the one who has taken away all reproach, who has removed any judgment from us that we would be able to be gathered. And that was His desire all along. That's what Jesus said. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I desire to gather you. But they would not be gathered. And it wasn't because they were sinners. It's because they were so worried about themselves. They didn't care for the things of God. They cared about themselves. They cared about their religious orders to keep God off their back. And God always wanted Jerusalem. But Jerusalem said, "We have no need for you. We are going to get this on our own. We are going to make this new temple that you never asked for in order to make sure that you will like us so we can be on the right side and we can get blessings and we can be holy so we can be like God." Their devotion was not ever to God. It was to themselves. Their end was their stomach. It's never, never simply about doing things that are unseemly. The end of the stomach is actually about doing the very seemly, the very religious, the things that make us feel so good about who we are. That our devotions of gifts of generosity, well, look at this. Look at this gift of generosity. Now I am devoted to God. Look at this gift of service to the church. Now I'm devoted to God. Look at what I'm giving up. But it always starts with the I. I. For Lent, we give up the I. We stop standing as we are, as the singular human being, and we start standing as the church. We stop worrying about how we will transform our vile bodies and have faith in the God who promises to transform our vile bodies. And that's exactly what Paul had faith in, because Paul here is in prison. He is in prison. And he is a prisoner for the Lord, he says. And he says, "Brethren, be imitators of me." Paul says, "I'm in prison now, but it's a good thing. Because many have heard the message and are now believers in Jesus Christ through it." How could you imagine that for Lent? Going to prison? For Lent, that we would actually count ourselves worthy to go to prison, so long as it was for the sake of the kingdom? That we don't give up a single thing else, but we just go to prison. We count ourselves low. We count ourselves destitute in order to win a few for God. That our devotion no longer is to us and our religious austerity, our outward glory, but instead our religious devotion to God is to give up all religious devotion. To become what is appearing to be destitute and despised by God in order to win over those for God. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. And that's where we get distracted in this part. We start thinking it's about those who are doing sinful acts, who are so wrapped up in the hedonism of Mardi Gras. But he just spoke earlier in that chapter. He says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." And now Paul's going to list off the very religious acts that have made him so worthy in the flesh, but he counts as nothing now. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. These things which would be wondered at, which would be seen as being great things, Paul is now listing as, yes, I have them. If you think you have devoted yourself to God, I have them. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them, but dung I may win Christ. That is what Paul gave up. He gave up himself, his religious acts of piety. No longer do we tell God that we're going to do anything for him, but we go out and we live for him. Lent has been changed in the past 2,000 years to become a season of introspection. And introspection on its own is not a bad thing. It's never a bad thing to take self-evaluation. The danger, though, is when we make that the end. The introspection can only go so far. There is a time when we do sit silently and we listen to the word and we let it rest in us and define who we are, to find out what is in us. But that introspection must always, always have an end that brings us into the world. That brings us to going to God's people and caring for their needs. Because that's exactly what Jesus did. That the Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, "Flee, for Herod desires to kill you." And he said, "Tell that fox, I'm going to be doing exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to be healing the sick. I am going to be giving the blind sight. And then I'm going to die." That Jesus, when he showed us what to do, he gave up his life for the other. He gave up his life for those people who were seeking to destroy him. And that's exactly what we're called to do. Now, we might not be brought to the point of death. We might not be brought to the point of actually losing our life to the cross as Jesus, but we are called still to give up our lives. We're called to give up all those things that tell us that we need to do more for God. We need to give up all of those things that tell us that we need to do some sort of religious act for God. We need to give up everything that is keeping us from just knowing who God is, just having Him with us. We need to give up all of those things that are telling us that we are still His enemy and we still need to do something to make Him love us. Our glory cannot be our stomach. Our glory cannot be our works. But our glory must be the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And then all of a sudden, Lent is no longer a somber season of sorrowful reflection. Because we can actually stop and we can wonder at the love of God. That we can actually stop and take stock not of ourselves, but take stock of the love of God. That He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. That He sent His Son to gather. As some of you may know, I work for Portage Home Health Hospice as a spiritual advisor. And on a visit, there's a lady who, she ended up getting from her brother a little prayer book, and her brother really focused on, you need to do this prayer, this sinner's prayer, and he really focused on begging God for forgiveness. That you sit there and you really tell God, I am such a wretched sinner. I am such a vile person. I have done so many sins against you, that you wring your hands and you focus so hard on that, and then maybe God can forgive you. That if you do the right religious act, then maybe God can forgive you and you can then be ready to die. And that to me is the saddest thing in the world. Being left in a place of wondering, well, can I actually be ready for God as I am? How much do I have to pray for forgiveness? How much do I have to do for God to love me? And that's the saddest thing. Because God loves her just the way she is. That it was long before she ever read that prayer that God was calling her. That was long before she put her hands together that God had forgiven her. And I told her, if that prayer brings you comfort, that's great. But it doesn't. What you have to know is that God has already chosen you. That He's already forgiven you. That His Son already died on the cross for you. That He has always been the one seeking to get you. And yes, you may have sinned, but that sin was taken away. That God is not the Father who's the bean counter, counting our sins to us, but He's the one that falls on our neck, kissing us, rejoicing at our return. He is the Father from the parable of the prodigal son. That yes, you may have gone out and you may have squandered your inheritance, you may have sinned, and you may have lost everything. And you might want to go back to God asking Him. You might want to go back to your Father begging Him that He would take you back, even as a servant. But the second He sees you coming, He comes running out and He falls on you because He is the loving Father. And you might want to ask him, let me be a servant. But he's not even going to let you get that out. He is going to say to you, my son, my son. And he's going to prepare a feast because he is not against you. He doesn't demand a single thing of you because his son already took care of that for you. And that is Lent. Not a time of wondering about our sin. Of focusing on us and wondering if we can give up enough to make God love us. If we can do enough prayer to make God love us. If we can make atonement for our sin to make God love us. Lent is when we give up all of that. And we simply recognize that God loves us. And then we don't have fear of death. Then we're ready. At any moment, we might go. I might go and turn onto the highway and get hit by a semi. But that's gain. That's what Paul understood. That he was a prisoner. And he could die at any moment. And that would be gain, he said. But he said, it's good for me to be here. Because then it's good for you. Then I can serve you. In other words, it's great either way. Because he knew exactly what God had in store. And it was going to be great either way. Either he was going to be there and he was going to be able to gather more of his children, or he was going to go and he was going to be able to be with God. Well, that's what we keep in our mind. Either way, it's good. We might be in this world that looks like destruction, but that's a chance for us to be able to gather more people, to be able to bring them out of destruction. And we ourselves might be brought to destruction in this world, but we know that we will be delivered from these vile bodies into bodies of glory. So set your mind on those things and not about what you have to do for God. Set your mind on His glory and what He has prepared for you. And let the other things just drift away because they don't matter anyway. Do all of those things. Do everything in boldness for Jesus' name's sake.